Good morning. It is Tuesday, September 20th, and things that are trending this hour. Adam Levine, the Maroon 5 frontman, has found himself in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons. A 23-year-old female went public on TikTok with allegations that she was having an affair with the 43-year-old singer. Keep in mind, Adam Levine is currently married, and his Victoria's Secret model wife is currently pregnant. Also trending, Peloton. They have added a $3,195 rowing machine to their fitness equipment lineup. Also trending, Ringo Starr. He tweeted out that music and art saved his life during the height of the pandemic. Ringo Starr currently touring the U.S. with his all-star band. Pop quiz, how old is Ringo Starr?
Well, did you want me to participate since I cheated on this?
You already know the answer.
Yeah, I was the one who was curious. I was asked it. I missed it. I would have been off. He was not as old as I thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
I guessed 84
because
I thought he is the oldest Beatle.
Well, is he?
Yeah. He's the oldest. I was two off. He's 82.
Yeah, 82. July 7th, 1940 was the day Ringo Starr was born.
Ringo Starr 100% won life's lottery. Because to think about it, he was not even originally in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be put in the band and not really have... There's nothing about Ringo Starr that you would say, this is not John Bonham. You know, it's you know, not Keith Moon. There's nothing about Ringo Starr that you would go, what a phenomenally talented musician. He was just...
He's a good drummer. He just doesn't have a great singing voice.
But there's nothing about the Beatles songs that's hard to fill. It's not like, oh my gosh, there's these standout
drum
moments,
solos,
you know, in the Beatles music. And the guy is a gajillionaire because, mm-hmm. I mean, and this is a good... politics and music... aren't that far off. What did we talk about the other day with Jeff Thompson, the underachiever who is now in charge of Ways and Means in the state of Indiana?
If you stick around long enough, you'll get the gig.
No major accomplishments to speak of, but has been a reliable, yes, stooge for basically 24 years for the Indiana Republican Party. And if you are daddy of someone and you are a reliable, yes, stooge in politics, you can elevate to the highest levels of government. Same thing with Ringo. He just sat in the background and didn't make any waves. And hell, towards the end, half the time, Lennon and McCartney were like, get out of here, I got this, and played drums themselves.
He did replace Pete Best. He wasn't even the original drummer. So he was good for something. At least they thought so. And did you watch the 8-hour documentary on the Beatles?
I tried. You know, I think I've told you how I feel about the Beatles. They're the most overrated band ever. Mm-hmm. Every time I listen to their music, I say, I cannot believe these four people swept up society. I'm not arguing it happened. It clearly did. But there was some sort of amnesia. The country was suffering hypnosis or something because they listen to their music and they've got a handful of good songs. Let It Be is pretty good. I mean, you know, some of the stuff off Sgt. Pepper's okay. But I mean, I am the Eggman. They are the Eggmen. I am the Walrus.
Cuckoo, ca-choo.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what captivated a nation?
Well, during that documentary, Yoko Ono made a comment that she really liked Ringo Starr's vibe and just his attitude and being around him. And there's something to say about that, that if you just like someone's presence, they make you feel good.
Here's what you like
spending time with them.
Keep
them around.
Well, sure. If I was just a guy who got paid to do basically no contributions and became a gajillionaire out of it, you'd like my vibe too, Casey. Here's a question. If you were to hook a diehard Beatles fan up to a lie detector and you ask the following question to them,
ooh,
could they pass the lie detector? And the question is as follows.
Yeah.
Is it or is it not true that 3/4 of the White Album is complete crap?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I'm a Beatles fan.
I mean, what, a Glass Onion, number nine?
Yeah.
I know drugs were prevalent in the late 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. I understand people were experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
But what? How do you listen to number nine where it's literally just someone going, number nine?
Yeah. It was all experimental. I mean, it was groundbreaking back then. It may seem ridiculous now.
You know what was experimental at the time, too? The atom bomb. There are lots of things that are experimental. It doesn't mean they're just colossally awful failures that now... And by the way, you're labeled as a bad person if you dare say, I think the Beatles were kind of overrated. tell me every Paul McCartney song does not sound like When I'm 64.
He was the one who added the pop sound to the Beatles.
Every Paul McCartney song is When I'm 64.
Mm-hmm. Which was better, Revolver or Rubber Soul? Oh, you think about that. You do your research and come back.
Revolver is Eleanor Rigby, right?
Yes.
That's a pretty good, one of the pretty good songs they have. So I will, without question, say Revolver.
Okay. 11 minutes after 11, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And he called his fellow Republicans crazies. I'm sure it's not the worst thing you've ever been called.
I've been called way worse than that.
Adam Kinzinger said that in a new interview. He predicted the GOP lawmakers will demand a vote to impeach President Biden every week.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he said if Republicans take control of the House in midterms, those crazies are going to want to impeach President Walnut every week.
So Adam Kinzinger is a representative from Illinois. Mm-hmm. He has an R next to his name. And he has it every turn.
It's in pencil.
Yeah, he has voted to impeach Trump, I believe, both times. Mm-hmm. He's on the January 6th committee. He gets great glee and joy out of trying to destroy Donald Trump's existence. And yet, when the tables will likely be turned, because by the standard they set forth for Donald Trump, Joe Biden should absolutely be impeached. Should Joe Biden be impeached? Probably not. But by the standard set forth by under Donald Trump, absolutely Joe Biden should be impeached, because now, once we figure out who the big guy is, mm-hmm. ball game over, right? Mm-hmm. And if the Republicans have Congress, and theoretically they'd have more weapons by which to expose who the big guy actually is. This, Adam Kinzinger, has voted to impeach Trump twice for telling people to go home and making a phone call, and is on this committee that will investigate him to the ends of the earth, in which he told everybody to go home, is irate that the Republicans would dare impeach Joe Biden. So it's fine to be the big guy and be in total cahoots with your loser kid and his international business dealings and lie out your ass to the American people time and time and time again. Oh, I don't know anything about that. That's fine. But a guy who made a phone call and said, go home. Oh, those are impeachable offenses.
So why would the Republican crazies want to impeach Biden? Well, what about his efforts on border enforcement? How about the COVID-19 pandemic? How about the withdrawal of the U.S. troops from Afghanistan? He's not running for re-election, by the way, in November.
No, because he knew he was going to lose. And so instead of taking his medicine like a man, he just said, I quit, which is the most Adam Kinzinger thing to do. I'm sure Liz Cheney wishes she'd have done that as well. But again, there are so many of these Republicans. And this is what people need to realize, right? Because we talk about this all the time. People get into this tribalistic white hat, black hat, good guys, bad guys, all Republicans good, all Democrats bad. There's way more Republicans, not just in Washington, here in Indiana, who think like this guy, that are appalled by conservatives. They hate Trump. They hate, you know, Make America Great Again. They loathe you. I was around them before there was a Make America Great Again, but it was the same thing, right? Like, if you believe in the idea that government is not working for people, if you dare challenge and say government is too big, too inefficient, too ineffective, takes too much money, produces too little results, and you dare come out and talk about that, they loathe you, they make fun of you, they mock you, they belittle you. There are way more Adam Kinzingers in the Republican Party than people want to realize.
He said that his biggest regret was that he didn't vote to impeach Trump the first time he had the chance in 2019.
But the second one he was fine with.
Yeah. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Let's talk about this reporter for The Nation. Ellie Mistel called on the attorney general to charge DeSantis and Abbott with kidnapping.
So he was on, this guy was on MSNBC, mm-hmm. and we're going to play you this audio. Because remember, mm-hmm. we just talked about how
the Democratic mayor for El Paso
is doing the exact same thing.
And it's all good.
Saying the exact same stuff. We want to put them where they're wanted, mm-hmm. where they can be cared for. Mm-hmm. He's putting them on a bus. They're mm-hmm. driving them places. Not a word about that.
Right.
But Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott, well, they're guilty of kidnapping. Mm-hmm. Take a listen.
I have reports that they were lied to, that they were tricked, that they were induced with false promises to get on planes and then shipped someplace where they weren't told where they were going. That, to me, is a violation of the federal kidnapping statutes. The legal term of art is inveigling. as I think most people can kind of, their horse sense can kind of understand. If I roll down and find a bunch of teenagers and I say, look, kids, hop in my van, I'm gonna take you to Disney World, and I take them to Busch Gardens, and I take them to old Williamsburg, that's kidnapping. I didn't take the kids where I said I was going to take the kids, right? So I think that in this case, Ron DeSantis told these people, including children, that we take them to one place, Boston, which would have services where they would get expedited work visas, where they would be have housing, and then sent them to a different place. That is kidnapping. And the person that we need to understand that is, unfortunately, at this point, not Ron DeSantis, not Greg Abbott. We need Merrick Garland. Once again, to understand that and bring the full weight and power of the federal government down on these people.
So somebody broke the law entering the country, right? Tell me if I'm missing a step in this, Casey.
Okay.
Somebody broke the law in entering the country. They are then become, because Biden won't do anything about it and enforce the border and enforce immigration policy in this country, they then become the responsibility of the state. The state says, you're not a citizen of this country. You don't have a right to be here. There's people who have said publicly they want you and want to take care of you. We can't get rid of you because Biden is preventing us from getting rid of you. So we will
send you to a sanctuary city.
Right. And that is kidnapping.
So lawyers representing the migrants that were flown to Martha's Vineyard called for the federal government and the state of Massachusetts to open criminal probes into DeSantis.
Sure.
So let me see if I have this straight, Rob.
Yes.
They came into the country illegally. They were given housing, food, clothes, medical care, and now legal representation.
Yes. Good deal, right? Gee, hard to believe why people would be flocking to illegally enter this country.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. One of Biden's economic advisors was on Fox News the other day, and boy, Martha McCallum just lit it up. She was biting her lip, and it was fabulous. It's 20 minutes after 11. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So they were talking about inflation, the current state of the economy. He just kept going. She was rolling her eyes at one point. And this is a reminder for you, Rob, if you ever fill in again on Hammer's sports betting show, the camera sees everything.
Oh, so this is also why... I chose radio. No, I guess I'm on camera now on the YouTube chat.
That's true. You are.
Although it's a kind of a grainier camera, so maybe it doesn't really
clear.
See anything in HD. By the way, does it make me really self-absorbed that after I went back and watched myself on television, I was like, man, my hair was looking really good.
You look good that day.
Isn't that
day.
Like a TV thing to do? Isn't that what you TV? Because you did TV for years.
Yeah, you just check yourself.
Do you marvel? Is marveling at yourself, is that a bad move in the industry?
You were especially proud of yourself that day, and that's okay.
The people at We Grow Hair Indy did a phenomenal job. What's his name? Bernstein, right? Jared Bernstein, I think is the guy's name, from... the Biden administration. And I love this because think about what's going on in the country. Most of it has been caused directly by the government. Biden has been president now for 21-ish months. Everything that's happening, you own it after 21 months. And yet this guy, listen to this, says they've done so much to try and help.
I don't think you'll hear any White House economist or policy analyst saying Americans should feel good about inflation. In fact, we know inflation is a significant challenge to households, and that's why we've done so much to try to help. Now, you talked about everything spiking. Well, in fact, gas prices have of course, spiked in the other direction. They're down $1.30 per gallon.
But they're still $1.30 higher than they were when the president took office.
I let you ask your question. Please let me give you my answer. So,
Still higher.
About $1.34 down. That's a savings of about $70 per month for the average driver. And so that's some real breathing room. But we also have helped to make sure that goods are getting through the ports, getting from ship to shelf. Shelves are stocked the way they were before the pandemic. And then there's the Inflation Reduction Act, lowering the cost of prescription drugs, of insulin for seniors, of health care, of energy. And you know what the Republicans' top priority is? To repeal the Inflation Reduction Act. Act. Martha, that's the same thing as saying our top economic priority is
to increase
healthcare costs.
Well, they don't want to pour any more money into the economy.
Hold on. Our top economic priority is to increase healthcare costs, increase insulin costs to seniors, increase energy costs, increase energy healthcare costs. That's not our top economic priority. We're pushing in the other direction.
Well, all right. Okay. So think about this. Like, you are, and we saw the poll we talked about from NBC earlier, in which overwhelmingly, when it comes to the economy, Americans,
their argument is that the more stimulus,
Americans are on the side of the Republicans,
mm-hmm.
which, as bad as Republicans are, that's really saying something about how bad the Democrats are. And yet your argument is, well, we've done so much to try and help, and it's all the fault of these evil, awful Republicans who, as we've proven, not only do most of the time they line up with this, in which people like Todd Young and Mitch McConnell repeatedly vote for these budgets they put forward or continue to fund the government, but they also, when they won't line up and the random, confused, accidental act of government accountability breaks out, we just use reconciliation and just ram it through anyway. Mm-hmm. Republicans don't control anything. And yet your excuse is it's the Republicans' fault.
Right. It's them. It's not us. So the central bank is going to kick off a two-day policy setting meeting. And they're discussing interest rates, right? And it's pretty much assumed that they're going to approve a third consecutive 75 basis point interest rate hike. It could be a 100 basis point increase. So I'm curious, did Bernstein not get the news? Did he not see CPI's at 8.3%? Because he's sitting there saying, we're doing all this great stuff. It's the Republicans' fault.
Well, he's seen it. And part of when you sign up for that job is you're a professional spin meister, which is a pretty miserable existence.
And a nice way of saying liar.
So should we play this other clip real fast of this Biden economic advisor? This is a different person. She was on CNBC. What's her name? Heather Bauschi is her name. She's with Biden's White House Council of Economic Advisors. And Casey, I am always amazed when the government ever takes credit for, air quote, creating jobs mm-hmm. that aren't government jobs. And on top of that, they take credit for creating jobs when the government mandated that businesses closed and then businesses reopened because government removed the threat of force if you tried to reopen. And then they took credit for creating jobs. Listen to this.
The administration, Biden administration, usually rejects any blame for the highest inflation that we were just talking about in 40 years, blaming it on supply chain issues from the pandemic. Yet at the same time, again, you take credit for creating 10 million jobs, which was a direct result of reopening after the pandemic. You also take credit for reducing the deficit by $1.7 trillion, never acknowledging it was simply from not spending those emergency sums that we spent dealing with that pandemic, which you're admitting caused the inflation, I guess, but it had nothing to do with these other two factors. It seemed like
Conversation last week. I mean, here's the thing. When the president came into office, the economy was not doing well. We were creating jobs to the tune of just 60,000 a month over the 3 months before he took office. And this president put in place a set of policies that fixed the economy, put it on a better path, got jobs back. We've created almost 10 million jobs under the president's watch. That is an historic and impressive accomplishment that's been delivering for people around the country.
She just said fix the economy. Biden has fixed the economy.
It's fixed, Casey.
It's
We're done here.
It's fixed.
We're done here. It's fixed. Biden fixed it. He created all the jobs. Biden, who's never owned anything in his entire life, business-wise, has created 10 million jobs.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He
it's a miracle.
Fixed it by raising grocery prices.
It's all fixed, Casey.
By raising
stop.
Gas prices.
Stop, Casey.
He fixed
Don't
it.
Don't say anything that's going to humiliate yourself.
Okay, I'll stop. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So Border Patrol agents nationwide have arrested more people who crossed the border unlawfully in 18 months under Joe Biden than the entire time Barack Obama was president.
Wow.
So 8 years versus 21 months.
So there have been more, basically, illegal crossings mm-hmm. in terms of apprehensions
mm-hmm.
under the first 18, because this is statistic is a month behind, 18 months under Biden than in the entire 8 years of Obama. That really puts the crisis of what's going on at the border in perspective, because it wasn't like Obama was some border hawk who was, you know, shooting on sight as people were trying to enter. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, there were many times where he was clamoring for it as well. And even with a liberal president like Obama, mm-hmm. Biden has managed to eclipse that in 18 months.
So this would suggest this isn't a Democrat problem, but a Biden problem.
Sure. Well, he's begging for people to come. Remember the press conference he had where he told mm-hmm. people what to say on the telephone when, you know, in your country of origin, if you send your child and they call home, what the parents are supposed to say. This is not open for debate. It's not open for discussion. Democrats, because Joe Biden is the face of the Democrat Party and he sets the policies, are obsessed with mass illegal immigration to this country, because that's how you reset and redefine countries. First of all, a country without borders is not a country at all. What it means to be American is part of what and who we are geographically and what it means to be in this country. We talked about yesterday, we don't appreciate this the way we should because we're born here. Now, some of us do, who revere and love history and have paid close attention to the founding fathers and all the things that they did. But most people do not. And still, those people are lucky by birthright. They have citizenship. But the bigger issue here is that if you eliminate what it means to be an American, if you take away the special aspect of becoming an American, then all the things that are American and that have made America special and great throughout the years, it all goes away.
It gets watered down.
Absolutely.
It's very similar to inflation and printing money.
Right.
You don't make it worth anything. Not special.
The left was very clear during 2020 when the Summer of Love was happening. And look, I get January 6th was the end of the world and that the rioting and looting of almost every major metropolitan city across the country was just a minor inconvenience. But during that Summer of Love, the left made it very clear. This was not about, now, the trained speakers wouldn't do this, but I don't know if you noticed, Casey, there were some untrained people who lacked professionalism that were involved in burning down our cities. They made it very clear. This is not about reforming America. This is not about making a wrong right. This was about, we believe America is inherently evil because of the original sin, which is so great and makes it irredeemable, not just dating back to the foundation of the country, but the finding of the country. You know, Christopher Columbus, all these people are so inherently evil that America cannot be saved. It cannot be salvaged. The only thing that to be done is to tear it down and build it back up in an image we see fit. And the best way to do that is to water down, is to dilute, is to belittle what it means to be an American, and then involves how you get into this country, how you become a citizen of this country, and our borders themselves. That is the best way to do it.
I see you looking at your phone.
Yes.
Are you getting a message?
Well, I'm looking at the computer here because, you know, I don't have the social media on my cellular telephone anymore, but I would like to welcome Casey. This is so weird.
What?
But we have a lot of super liberal listeners today, mm-hmm. and I think they have felt the need to listen, which, thank you, by the way, you all count the same, mm-hmm. whether Marianne or Tammy, wherever you're listening from, whether you listen because you hate us or you listen because you love us, when we get paid at the 2 times a month, it all counts exactly the same. So we thank you for that, and some of these very liberal people have spent a great deal of their day with us, and they felt the need to tweet at me repeatedly on social media and let me know how I'm wrong about everything. And again, when I get paid, they don't say, well, these many listeners thought Rob was right and loved him, and well, these many listeners thought Rob was terrible. No, I get paid all the same. So thank you for helping me. I'll probably buy myself a nice dinner when that bonus check comes in, thanks to people like Marianne and Tammy. But we've been getting some really interesting responses from some of our liberal listeners, and I thought maybe we'd like to explore some of them.
Would you like
to go for it?
Yeah.
All right. This is from Marianne. The victims of the GOP game plan did not enter the country illegally. They legally are seeking asylum. Mm-hmm. There are 2 million people, mm-hmm. just magically showed up, and they're all legally seeking asylum. Oh, sure. Yeah, right. Now, many of these people have been coached thanks to our dumbass president, who literally at one point told them what to say very early on in his presidency, that if you come there, the best way to stay in the country is not to say, well, yeah, hell yeah, I'm an illegal immigrant. I broke into the country legally. Take me on back. No, of course they know what to say, and it is, I'm seeking asylum. Do we think this person honestly believes that the 2 million people just magically flooded in here when the new president came in and started seeking asylum?
No.
No, of course not. Tammy writes, because we were talking about how we were really hoping that on-demand abortion advocate Destiny Wells, who apparently, very sadly, her staff must be anti-woman because they will not correspond with you, despite the fact that we instructed them if they wanted to be on the show, they had to correspond with you. They keep trying to, Destiny and her people have just keep going to me. And look, I know I'm very charming, very charismatic. I have great hair.
You have good hair.
No, and I get that. But I am pro-woman. And as such, I wanted you to be the person they went through. And it's really weird that the woman candidate would be so just against corresponding with the woman.
I'm wondering if I will hear from her tonight.
Oh, I hope so, because it'd be weird if the woman candidate was anti-woman, because all we've all this is all about is just us saying you have to talk to the woman to get on the show. Please correspond with the woman. By the way, would you like to give your contact information out in case they didn't hear it? Since we clearly have all the liberal Destiny fans listening now, would you like to give that out?
Sure.
Yeah.
The Twitter is CaseyDaniels317, or the email casey.daniels@radio/1.com.
Okay. So
I'm sure it's up on the WIBC website somewhere.
Yeah. But anyway, we had pointed out how I really was hoping that Destiny would be pro-woman and correspond with you, because I do want her to be on the show. She's willing to follow the rules, because politicians and people for running public for public office aren't special. You follow the rules the way everyone else does. Because I was very excited to ask her about her lust and cheerleading for on-demand abortion, because that's really a bold strategy to be for sucking the brains out of a defenseless fetus from conception to live birth. Now, when you ask the Democrats often, what are the limits, as we've asked before, we don't get an answer to that. So it's pretty clear that's what it is. But if she were in here,
I would ask her.
Yeah, we could ask her.
At what point in your mind is too far?
So Tammy, very upset about this, wrote, I don't think you understand what on-demand abortion means, Rob. You won't until you need one, which will be never, of course. Oh, no, Tammy, I understand exactly what on-demand abortion means, and I've said it many times, and I guess we'll say it again, Casey, which is on-demand abortion means an abortion, sucking the brains out of a defenseless fetus that has no voice or can defend itself, which is a human being. I mean, science has proven. Don't forget, the overturning of Roe versus Wade was about the Dobbs decision, which was Mississippi's abortion law, which is 15 weeks, because definitively they have now proven that's a human at 15 weeks. I mean, it's a human way before that, but even on the weird liberal scale, it's a human. It feels pain. It can hear music. It can all these things. So, what the Democrats want and what on-demand abortion is and what Destiny wants, and that's why I was very excited for her to come in and talk about this. And maybe if it's not, maybe she could clarify, you know, when is it okay to suck the brains out of a defenseless fetus and when it isn't, is that from conception until live birth, the Democrat Party wants you to be able to do that to a defenseless fetus. And in the case of like Virginia, if you accidentally made it outside the womb, okay. The governor there, remember, Northern, wanted to be able to give you the whack there, too. So, Tammy, that's what on-demand abortion is. And, yes, I know Tammy's probably very proud that Destiny Wells is for killing defenseless fetuses that can't speak for themselves from conception to live birth. And I was just hoping she would come in, because I think that would play, I think it would play very well with the WIBC audience for Destiny to come in and talk about that. I think she'd get a lot of votes doing that. I'm surprised she's being so apprehensive and so anti-woman by not corresponding with you.
Did she think that she was just going to come on the air and just say bad things about Diego Morales?
Ah, it's funny you asked that. Should I answer that?
Because
Yeah. No, I think that's good. I think that's a good question, because that's exactly what they thought, which is because I have identified rightfully so. Look, our show is very clear. We dislike all these people equally. We have no vested interest in Democrats, Republicans. They're almost all of them are wholly awful. And because this show has been arguably the most prominent media platform in the entire state who has pointed out who and what Diego Morales is, which is the unqualified local town goof who wrote a weight of anti-Holcombism past the convention, that we would somehow excuse Destiny Wells' radical extremist views. Diego Morales is unqualified to be the Indiana Secretary of State, period, absolutely. His work record is abhorrent. He would struggle to get hired at a local Arby's, given his track record. His fact that he will not debate Destiny Wells.
I see we're on Arby's today.
Yeah, well, I got it. I told you my chiropractor got mad that I said Wendy's too much. The fact that he won't debate, he's a total coward. We give Destiny credit. She will debate. I guess she's not going to get, doesn't think she'll get asked about the abortion issue. But beside the point, Diego is unqualified. But just because Diego's unqualified, I'm not cheerleading for the other team. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about your radical extreme views too, because as much as the Democrats and Republicans would like you to think, well, you got to pick one of us. You got to pick one of these total zeros. Mm-hmm. No, we don't. There's a third choice, mm-hmm. and he's way more qualified than either one of you people. Jeff Moore, the Libertarian.
Well, I'm not going to beg.
No, but the point of today, was to prove a point, which we did it the last time. One, it's wildly entertaining because how stupid and ridiculous these people are is wildly entertaining, and nobody exposes it better than us. But it was, we don't need you. Mm-hmm. Having Destiny Wells on here would do nothing for our ratings. It's not like, oh my gosh, Elvis will be in the studio. Oh my gosh, appearing live and in person, Donald Trump. No, you need us. And whether it's that weirdo guy from South Bend, the Republican, mm-hmm. or Destiny Wells, the Democrat, we don't need you. We didn't build our ratings based on having politicians in here. We build our ratings because we tell the truth about politicians, about who you people are, what you do, and what you stand for. So, Destiny, you know how to get a hold of Casey. Put up or shut up. I'm done with it.
All right. It's 93 WIBC. Good morning. Let's talk about beer. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So earlier in the show, we were talking about how IU is going to start selling beer at Assembly Hall for basketball games this season,
yes.
both men and women. And you asked the question, how much is it going to cost? Of course, because you always go to,
yes.
how much is it going to cost? And somebody gave us the answer, right?
Yes, somebody said at the football stadium, mm-hmm. and this blows my mind that anyone would pay this ever for a beer, right? We're not talking like some high-end mixed drink or whatever. $9 for a regular beer, mm-hmm. $10 for a premium beer.
That must be some good beer.
Like, you can't even get remotely messed up on one beer.
It would cost like a week's worth of salary.
Like, I'm doing the math. What would be considered a premium beer anyway? I don't drink a lot of beer, so I don't know. I don't know,
a Stella maybe?
So what's the alcohol by volume content on a Stella? What could you get? 6? Maybe 7?
Possibly. I don't know. I know the stout that I had this weekend was like 7%.
Okay, let's even give the benefit of the doubt and say 8%. Let's go high, okay? Mm-hmm. So at 8% alcohol by volume, how many of those, and obviously over time, you know, you've got basically, what, a 3-hour window for a football game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How many of those could you even drink in a 3-hour window? What, maybe 6-ish? Unless you're just chugging them for the fun of chugging them, but you're not.
Yeah,
if it's $10.
Yeah, like a half hour per beer.
Yeah, so if you bought 6 of those, mm-hmm. that would cost you $60.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice... at an evening at a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Jaden, you're just out of college. Did Purdue serve beer at their games?
Yes. I went to 2 football games, so.
Was there beer?
Yeah.
Were you able to buy as a student beer?
I was too young when I was going.
Okay.
Let me tell you.
What a straight-laced guy. He was too young, and he admitted it, and he didn't even try. What a great guy.
He didn't have the fake ID. That's why he's one of our producers.
Yes.
Last weekend, I was at Purdue and at Ross-Ade Stadium. They're actually, one of the places is called Hammer Down Grill.
Oh,
I sent a picture of it to Jason Hammer.
There's an actual
it's named
it,
after
it's
him.
A restaurant?
Well, it's like you know, your beer and brat and
okay,
hot
so
dog.
It's like a stand.
Yeah, it's
okay.
A stand there in the stadium.
I cannot imagine spending like again. I guess you just does anybody actually drink alcohol because they're like, oh man, that tastes so good. Like, is that a thing? I mean, I'm talking a beer type of drink. I'm going to talk about like a, you know, you have a Long Island or a, you know, whatever.
Well, that's why when it comes to beer, I drink a stout, because I did a flight of beers and found out that this whole time I've been drinking like Leinenkugels and Miller Lite,
Summer Shandy.
And I don't like those.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew. I have a palate for a stout. So now I've switched and become better educated on my beer.
So what are you drinking now?
Stout or even a porter.
Okay.
That's the really dark. That's
yeah,
like,
that's
yes.
not good for you, right? That's all.
Is any of it good for you?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of like, if we're talking about the
probably higher calories,
proximity to poundage, like you're more apt to be beer that would make you put on weight tends to be the darker beer.
Well, I'm not buying six beers during one football game.
That's true. That's a good point.
So I don't have that problem.
That's a good point.
There is a beer shortage looming in the country. That's because of a gap in the carbon dioxide supply.
Really?
Have you heard about this? This is particularly going to hit small and independent craft brewers. And they've already been struggling with inflation and, of course, supply chain troubles. And now a carbon dioxide shortage. This was caused by a natural contamination at the Jackson Dome. This is a Mississippi reservoir of CO2 from an extinct volcano.
Really?
How about that? An extinct volcano in Mississippi is creating a possible beer shortage.
I know we got to get ready to go here, but think about if, let's say 5 years ago, Casey, someone had stopped you on the street and said, lady, you don't understand what's about to happen. Eventually, everything from chicken nuggets to beer will be hard to find in this country. Mm-hmm. And what you can find will be 13.5% more expensive.
Yeah.
Would you have not, like if someone had said everything from chicken nuggets to beer will be in short supply, would you have not just laughed at that person and walked away?
Yeah, you never would have thought about that, because here we are in the breadbasket of America, right? You think the amber waves of grain, the soybeans, the corn, you would never think that there would be food shortages or such a spike in the price for it.
And it doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen now. It didn't have to happen to begin with. Look, people can say, I saw, it's interesting. What do we got, about a minute left here? I saw an article yesterday. It's so fascinating how the media, the national media. Now I saw an article yesterday where the article was lamenting the strength of the dollar. Because as bad as we've been doing, other countries are doing so much worse in terms of magical money printing factories that the dollar, not because of anything we've done, but just by default, and because the Fed has tightened interest rates, is becoming as strong as it's been in an entire generation. And yet, because we are so in the tank for globalism, the media is, and for the Democrats' view of globalism and one world society, the article was lamenting the strength and buying power of the dollar, and they were finding ways to try to pick apart. Well, yeah, okay, it's really helping in all these fields, but have you ever considered this? Like, it's just unbelievable where we're at in this country and how people will go to bat and go and kneel at the altar of political parties, and we're in big trouble. But I love you all. I love you all so much.
So beer prices haven't risen quite as much as other food, but that's about to change. Get your beer now. Thanks, Rob. Thank you, Jaden. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.